Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell manning things at our game studios. Our show is brought to you by and presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest. And, boy, we're going to pick his brain today. Bernard Pollard is on the line with us, former Titan, former Raven. And before we get to that, Bernard, just because the last couple of times we've had you on, besides just talking about the pigskin, we've talked about your new love for racing. And, of course, we know what you did here, the Nashville Super Speedway in June. What did it mean to you yesterday as a new race fan to see Bubba Wallace win his first ever race, cup race at Talladega yesterday?
Dude, first and foremost, thank you guys for having me. I think, you know, when you look at Bubba winning his first race, it was awesome to be able to see the excitement, you know, from him and his team. You know how hard he's worked. You know, obviously going to a new team with Jordan, the 23. But dude, it was exciting for me. It was super exciting for me to be able to just witness that for a guy that had worked his butt off to get his first win in the Cup Series. That was just awesome.
Yeah, and to think about it, and he even talked about this yesterday because he did his rounds, and that's what you do when you're a headline story. And he talked about, you know, all the adversity and some of the crap that he's had to deal with. It's well documented, the story that came out, you know, in the garage last year, him having to deal with that. And, you know, to get through all that and to power through all that, you know, that trying to make it in the NFL, man, it's no joke. Some of the mind games and stuff you have to deal with just within yourself, right? Just to get up to play or do something at the highest level in the world, which is what the sport he's in. And to overcome that and to get a win yesterday, it must have felt like, you know, 5 wins to him.
Definitely. I definitely agree with you on that one. And I mean, I don't know if we can put ourselves in his shoes because it's very difficult. As a driver, I've heard stories from black drivers who they're trying to get in motocross and all these other different places. And you have a small percentage of people that, you know, they say things, they do things to try to make you feel uncomfortable, to make you run away, to make you stay away from the sport. But I think the way he has persevered and just continued to fought continue to fight his way through this in his career, and then to finally get a win, I know all of those emotions came back up, and I mean, just encouraging young people, young brown and black people who look like him, and others to just continue to fight the good fight and go, no matter what obstacles are in your way, face the adversity head on and just continue to grind and it'll pay off.
We're dying to get your reaction to something we just talked about the last 15 minutes of the last hour. One of the storylines in the NFL was the Ravens and Broncos finish to their game. Ravens win 23-7, and you're like, what headlines could come out of that? They cruise to a victory in Denver. I happened to be watching. I told these guys I was watching the Red Zone and Red Zone channel, and they happened to go to it at the end of the game. Drew Lock throws an interception in the end zone. And essentially, that's the end of the game. And for some reason, they didn't cut away. And so I was watching it live, and I told Willie and Chase, I'm like, I was sitting there going, what are they doing? Like, why is Lamar Jackson in a shotgun? I didn't know what was going on. Obviously, we have found out everything that was going on. They were keeping a streak alive in 43 games. A record now ties the Steelers. And they can break it this week. As a player, let's just start with, as a player on the other side, okay, on the defensive side of the ball, like if you were a Broncos player on defense, what would your feelings be today, knowing what you know now and how that all played out?
Well, I think, you know, for me as a defensive player, if you don't like what the offense is doing, you need to do something about it. You need to do something to stop it. And if you can't stop it, you know, then there's no reason to cry about it. You know, but talking out of both ends of my mouth, I think this is what the Baltimore Ravens have done the last 3 or 4 years. They pad stats. They want Lamar to, which he's an exceptional athlete. He has been playing really well. I think when you look at what's going on and the teams that they've played, I mean, they played a couple hard teams, but I think, you know, even with Denver really haven't played a hard football team who's going to come in and play good ball for four quarters, and they finally face one. And then, you know, obviously with the athlete under center with Lamar. But, you know, I think, you know, if you don't like what they're doing, if you can't stop it, don't cry about it. You need to go watch film, figure out how to stop it, and if you face them later on down the line, cool. If not, you know, you gotta just hold it together and keep fighting.
Okay, so since you were a former player and you know all about that Ravens system, well, if you were on that sideline and that happened, knowing what you know, how would you feel? Are you cool with it? Is that a coach looking out for his team? You know, I don't know. Tell us what's the player mentality for the Ravens? Does Harbaugh get brownie points for it?
Well, I think, you know, you got to look at just the type of football team he's built there. You know, he's got his guys in. And so those guys are all about when they're front runners, you know, when it's good, it's good. But when it's bad, they fall apart. And so, you know, I look at it from a different angle. I think if we're on the sideline, I think if you look at us, our team that was there in Baltimore, we'd have probably been like, hey, man, down the ball, whatever. Don't go send our guy back out there, because you just don't know if you got a head case that's looking like, okay, y'all want to be in shotgun? I'm hurting any and everything that tries to run or pass this ball. So, you know, I know where we would have come from if that was our team. But, you know, once again, this is his team. They chase different things like that. This is teams where they want to gamble, and you know, and this is what they built. And I mean, if you don't like it, you got to be able to stop it. But I think this is today's football. Today's football they have taken the aggression out of the defensive players. This is an offensive game. It's no longer a game like it was 6 or 7 years ago. This is a different football game, and it's sometimes hard to watch, because you're just looking like, sometimes these defensive players, they go into games losing because it just by rules alone, they're not set up to win.
Bernard, you know what else is hard to watch? Ben Roethlisberger. You went up against him a lot in your playing days. I mean, this dude looks like he's 68 years old. I mean, This has got to be awkward, right? Like Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. And as long as they keep trotting out Big Ben, like, I think that record's about to get broken, because I don't know how you win, you know, 9 games with that guy. He's a statue. He can't move. He can't throw. I mean, like I said, he looks like he's 68 years old.
It's funny you say that, my son. So I try not to watch a lot. It's hard for me to watch a lot of football, but my son came to me and was just like, Dad, Roethlisberger sucks. And I'm just like, oh, you can't say that. And then I'm just hearing so many people just continue, you know, to say the same thing. And I'm just looking like, what is really going on in Pittsburgh? And, you know, you look at the preseason, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. Pittsburgh looks like they're going to, you know, do a little damage this year. They got some things rolling. They changed a little bit up in the offense. But, I mean, you know, from the highlights and things that I've seen, you have to make a decision with him. I don't know if a guy like that can continue to get away with not practicing with the football team and just showing up on Sunday and thinking he's going to be this Superman, you know, under center that's going to be able to put your team in the best position to win football games. I think that time is over for him. They're going to have to make a decision because they got a backup that can throw the football, that can potentially energize this offense and allow them to go be successful. Because the defense can play ball, but it's tough when you're out there watching your offense continually turn the ball over and put you in bad situations. It's hard to play through on a consistent basis. And so, you know, Tom is going to have to make some decisions. I don't know how much Ben Roethlisberger has left in the tank. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. But, I mean, at the end of it, when we look at it, it's not really looking good. stuff he's putting on tape just does not look good at all.
Look, if you want to pad your career stats, you need to just go sign with whoever plays the Steelers every week, and you can pad out, you can pad Bernard Pollard's stats if you want to get some sacks on that resume.
No, man, no, they ain't allowing me back in the NFL. I hit too hard.
Bernard Pollard, Crush Boy, is here with us, a former NFL safety. And speaking of hard hits, obviously we know your history against the Patriots and Tom Brady, but he makes his return to New England on Sunday night. What did you think about all the buildup of that and then the game itself as he returns and gets the victory, albeit a tough one that he had to earn?
Hey, man, I actually watched a little bit of that game. My son had it on, and you know, Brady is what he did in New England is spectacular. You know, I think, what, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 wins or whatever it may be. Yep. You know, so you look at what he's done for the organization, for the city. You know, it's just been it's been spectacular. So, you know, it was going to be tough being able to step into that crowd and to be able to play. You know, obviously he's playing against his former coach, and they know some things that he, you know, is good at, some things he's not good at. I thought defensively they did a really good job. The corners, I don't know what they were doing most of the time, but for the most part, they played a really good game. I thought offensively for the New England Patriots, they played really well. You know, so it was a good game. I was actually surprised with the way that Tampa offense and defense was doing, was going. But, you know, obviously we got to look at it. The injuries with Tampa Bay, they're facing a lot of injuries in that secondary. And I thought Mac Jones did a really good job as far as he picked on Sherman the entire time. You know, Sherman is not a man corner, and he took advantage of that. I thought his OC, they did a good job game planning, knowing that Sherman was going to play, and Jones came out, I mean, just dispersed the ball to his receivers. And they answered. And so this is going to be a good team. You know, I thought they made a good decision with getting rid of the quarter, whatever that the quarterback name is. They had get the guy, Cam. But you know, to put Mac Jones, Cam Newton. So getting rid of Cam Newton, putting Mac Jones in, allowing, if they're going to mess up, if they're going to struggle this year, they want to mess up struggling with a quarterback that can throw the football and throw him in the fire, let him learn. And, you know, this kid is going to be really good in this system. So it's exciting to see what New England is going to be able to do for the rest of this year. But Tampa Bay, you know, the grit, just the balls, the accuracy, the athleticism offensively, defensively, it's just really good. They're a good football team.
Getting some wisdom for Bernard Pollard. So Bernard, you've been in many locker rooms, many weeks, and in a league that has a salary cap and has the parity, there's always that game that you lose to a team that you don't feel like you should lose to. So give me the feeling and your approach as a leader to try to get back on the horse after you have a loss like the Titans had to the Jets, where you're sitting there going, you know what, we didn't have this guy, that guy, but man, we got to figure out how to beat the Jets. You can't lose games like that. It feels like the world is ending, but there's still a long way to go in the season.
It's definitely you definitely have a long season ahead of you, but I think, you know, when you lose a game like that in overtime, you know, when your kicker can't make the kick, I've lost the conference championship game, Billy Cundiff missing the kick. But obviously that was, you know, in the playoffs, you know, one game out of the Super Bowl. But I think when you look at this Titans football team, you know, they're fighting, they're scrapping, they're trying to find their way. You know, you got a couple guys missing on offense, but you're still in the game. And I think, you know, when it's all said and done, you have to look at it and say, you know, our guys that were supposed to that stepped up, that filled in, they did a good job for us. They gave us a chance to win. We put ourselves in a good position to win a football game. It doesn't matter. I look at it and I say it doesn't matter if it was against the Jets or if it was against the Buccaneers. You know, I look at it and I say any team can win any game on any Sunday. And I truly believe that. This is the National Football League. You know, their guys get paid as well. They are spectacular elite athletes that's doing what less than 1% of the world can do as well. So, you know, they may not be a really good team, but they do have really good individuals that can put some things together. And so you just look at the Jets, and that's what the Jets did against the Titans. And so, you know, I just think the Titans got to – I don't know what it's been the last few years with kickers, man, but they're going to have to get a guy that they can trust, or guys going to have to make plays so that they don't put it in the hands of the kicker, because, man, that freaking sucks to lose a game like that. And it's going to happen. But, you know, you just got to get back on a horse and grind this week and get ready for next Sunday.
BP, you talked about earlier the hard hits that you had in your career. But what do you think about the evolution of the position you played at safety, you know, since you've been out of the league since 2014? Like, how it's changed so much since then?
Well, it's changed big time. I you look at the safety position, as I said earlier, they've taken the aggression out of defensive players. You can't hit the – I think my son had on red zone as well. And the linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, he came in and hit Matthew Stafford literally with his hands and pushed him down. And it was an interception on the play, but they called roughing the passer. And, I mean, it's just different plays like that because, they want these guys – they want points on the board. They want offensive players to go and showboat and all this other stuff. You look at a lot of the other penalties where they're saying, taunting, all this other stuff. You know, a guy spiked the ball yesterday, I think it was, on the sideline, Waller. He spiked the ball on the sideline and was looking straight ahead, wasn't looking at nobody else. Now, I kind of understand the spiking the ball because the rest got to get the ball. So you got to make that call according to that call. Don't say he was taunting. He wasn't taunting. If anything, it was a delay of game because the ref had to go get the ball that he spiked. So I just think, just the rule changes, the aggression with the taking aggression out of defensive players, it's just so different. You're telling a cornerback and a safety that he can't go in and go low on a pulling lineman. They want those guys to go head up with these linemen. That's a collision that they're not going to win. So if anything, that's going against player safety. Let's even the playing field and allow DBs to be able to cut old linemen. Don't just say you can't cut them, but you want them to go sit there and go head up with them. So we're talking safety, but then we're talking stupidity at the same time. I just don't like the fact that, when you look at the NFL, and I played in this, you guys have watched it for so long, the guys that are making the rules have never played. These guys are at the rule committee, they're not playing. And so when you change the game like this for former players and guys that have played the game and people that are watching, they're not dumb. We see what's going on, and it's just not good football. And sometimes that comes back to bite your team in the butt because you're looking like, okay, the stupid freaking rule that changed, our guys couldn't do anything.
That's a good point, and it makes me appreciate, Bernard, the defensive players who still flourish given the rules the way they are right now. It is so set up for the offense to do well. I'm sure you would agree.
Exactly. It's set up for the offense to do well, and it just sucks because offensive players are pushing off. I was looking at, I think it was yesterday, whenever it was, you're looking at all of these shifts, and guys are literally running towards the line of scrimmage and then moving off. And they're saying, okay, well, that's a shift or that's a motion. No, it's not. That's you're trying to get the defense to jump off sides. Like, that's cheating. Like, so it's so weird for me to watch all of this, and I'm just looking like, this is crazy. So they lucky I ain't playing no more because I would have tried to slap every sucker running and everything. I'd have took some players out the game because we'd have figured this thing out real quick.
Bernard Pollard here with us. BP, appreciate the time as always. Congrats on your Talladega victory on iRacing. I enjoyed the victory video. That was awesome. So you're having some fun.
I'm having a blast, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm about to jump on here a little bit on the rope and practice a little bit. So hope to see you on soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, BP.
All right, see you guys.
Bernard Pollard, former NFL safety, of course, Titans safety, Ravens safety as well. Spent a long time in the league. Always enjoy his perspective here on the show. We'll have much more coming. Willie's got a topic that he's going to throw at us
yes.
when we come back. But first, he's going to tell you about loans.
I am going to tell you about Loan Pronto. And then when we come back, I want to hit Darren and Chase with an observation I had about the overtime format in the Titans-Jets game and how it would have been different under some different circumstances.
You don't hit as hard as BP, so that's good.
No, I didn't claim that I did. Did I?
Yeah, no. You just said you're going to hit us.
I won't hit you hard, but it'll be a mentally challenging question, though. It's going to spark great debate.
Glad
I believe.
Glass,
yes. So
goodness.
It's a different type of impact. Okay.
I would love to touch on the taunting he brought up too from last night. Just saying. Just touch on it.
Just okay. Very different subject. So you can, we have a lot of segments left in the show. So this is all going to come out in the wash here. But let me tell you about Loan Pronto in the meantime. Loan Pronto has the ability right now for you with a streamlined process, all digital now, to refinance your house in about 2 weeks, give or take a day or two. That is such a great thing to think about these days because back in the day, and I've done it many times, the refinancing of your home could take a long, long time. A lot of paperwork, all of that stuff, appraisals and things like that. It just takes a lot of time. Loan Pronto has really done a great job to try to streamline this process for you. And with mortgage rates the way that they are, if your mortgage rate starts with a 3 right now, you need to call Loan Pronto right now at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Check out what they've got in terms of being able to give you the zero-cost refi. Not only have they streamlined the process with an all-digital outlook, they also can give you no closing costs. It's going to save you money. It's going to knock off hundreds of dollars a month on your mortgage payment, and then you get to skip the next couple of house payments when you work with Loan Pronto as well. So in the short term, you're really going to get a bump with your monthly budget. You got to love it. LoanPronto.com or 615-499-5780. Ask about the zero-cost refi. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero-cost option.
That's how it ended in New York. We'll get into that in just a moment. Don't forget to join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, what we want to do is raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th, about a month away. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Willie, the floor is yours.
All right. You heard the missed field goal. And so it got me thinking, and I heard Bob Costas go on a rant on his new show on HBO, which is really kind of a new old show. He's back doing what he has done really well in the past on different channels, HBO, NBC. But he's just great. Great interviewer, and at the end he has sort of a read on off of the screen where he just kind of makes a case for something, and he talked about the overtime format being way off base in the NFL. And it dawns on me with this: why is it 10 minutes in this overtime? With the format, as flawed as it is, we could debate all day on, you know, whether each team should be guaranteed with the ball, which was Costas' point. He said, you know, you really shouldn't have a season come down to a deal. If you're going to say each team should get the ball, what's this whole thing with the touchdown as opposed to the field goal? That's set aside for a second. Why did they make it 10 minutes if they want to have each team with the ball? What happened in the game on Sunday was the Jets come down, have a fairly long drive, get the field goal. The Titans did a good job just to keep them out of the end zone. They're 1 yard away from losing on third down, and Zach Wilson makes a rookie mistake instead of throwing the ball out of the end zone on third and one from the one. They could have just tossed it out of bounds and then maybe gone for the game-winning play on fourth and one. That would have been a big dramatic thing, but instead he gets run out of bounds at the five to kick the field goal. So the Titans at least get the ball. But what happened was, number one, they had to burn a timeout because they needed to stop the momentum. They only get two.
Mm-hmm.
So as they get moving down the field, and as we know, Titans offense right now without some of the weapons, they're moving 10 yards at a time. They were forced to kind of start hurrying up. They ran out of time. And they had to burn the timeout. But my question is, okay, just let's just say arbitrarily that it's like it used to be. If that were a 15-minute overtime, that would have been a completely different drive coming down the field,
yeah,
where they could have, in theory, they could have just kept going 10 yards at a time, maybe get an easier field goal to tie or get a win by scoring a touchdown. So why 10 minutes in the overtime? It number one, it increases the chances of a tie, which you really don't want, right? Yeah. You don't want games ending in a tie, but there are more ties than there have been in a long time because time runs out. So why should why should that happen? You only got the they only got the ball once, and they had to basically go into a two-minute drill at the end of the game. So the format played a big role in how that game ended. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the Titans or anything. I just wonder, is that – I've thought this for a while. The 10 minutes is not a good thing in the overtime. Why is it 10? Why not just have 15?
It's player safety. That's what they'll
They used to do it for years, 15 minutes.
But they'll tell you it's player safety.
But it doesn't make sense to me. 10 minutes makes no sense.
I didn't say I agree with it. I'm telling you, that's what the league's going to tell you. It's player safety.
So 2017 is when they put the 10-minute rule in. How many ties do you think have taken place since then?
Quite a few. Probably one a year.
It seems like one a season.
Yeah.
On an average, right?
That would be the average, yeah. There have been four.
Yeah.
September 9th, 2018, Steelers-Browns tied at 21. And then a week later, that same year, the Vikings-Packers tied at 29. There wasn't another one until the following season. Detroit-Arizona tied at 27. And then in 2020.
That was like opening day, wasn't it?
Yeah. They're all in September.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And three of the four are early September. This last one, which was last year, was Eagles-Bengals, September 27th, 2020.
But if you're getting the ball only one time guaranteed, why should you have to worry about the clock? Like, in theory, what if a team ran the ball all the way down the field, you know, just went 10 yards at a time, ate the clock, kicked a field goal with 30 seconds left? That could theoretically happen, where the other team, they get the ball, but they only get it for 30 seconds?
Yeah.
There's something I just think you could go 15 minutes and solve that problem a lot easier. Well, a regular quarter is 15
minutes. Who's going to disagree? But it's like I said, it's the league is going to tell you it's about player safety, and
player
nobody is going
to.
Fans are going to be like, whatever. Media will be like, whatever. But that's what they agreed upon. It's about player safety.
I don't understand the player safety though. 5 extra minutes when you're trying to be fair, you've put this elaborate thing in there. If it takes the referee about 45 seconds to spit it all out with the coin toss.
Sure.
They've got it all memorized here. It's like the flight attendant on the plane talking about the exits at the beginning and the end, and you know the oxygen mask is going to come down, all of those things. It's like the referee has to put out that whole spiel. It's like, okay, we know what it is. It's really weird how they've come up with this system. I guess it's better than it was before, where you could just get the ball, get down and kick a field goal, and it's over. Yeah. So I like that they're trying to be more fair.
They put that rule in 2012,
yeah,
where you had to, like, if you kicked a field goal in your first possession, then the other team got a chance. And there, and when they instituted that rule, so from 2012 to 2016, there were 5 ties in that range.
Okay,
but. So it's
flawed no matter what you do, because how many examples have we seen where the team didn't even get the ball back because the other team went down and scored a touchdown? Tom Brady did it, Mahomes did it, and everybody screams from the mountaintops. Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't even get a chance, right?
Yeah.
And so it's flawed no matter what you want to throw out there. It's going to be flawed.
Would you rather
just think about how different the Titans' drive would have been had they not had to hurry? Because you could argue that they screwed it up, and it's on them for screwing up. The delay of game was a killer. The last play they ran was a killer, where they can't protect the quarterback. He's got to just heave it just to not take the sack and put him almost out of field goal range. So they goofed that up. But it would have been completely different if it was a 15-minute overtime like it was for decades with the same format. Like, they could have, again, kept Derrick Henry in there. They could have run the ball. I think they would have won the game. I don't know that the Jets would have stopped them if they didn't have to hurry. Now, I can't say that for sure, but I think their percentages go way, way up.
So several people on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, are saying that they believe it's to keep TV time where it needs to be. And I do agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's,
time has
that's
been
part
a,
of it. That's a big part of it.
Too,
so I think the networks
NFL is very calculated in their window of time.
Sure. Well, and I think the networks have probably said, you know, hey, CBS, like, all kidding aside, 60 Minutes is one of their most popular programs, and so they want 60 Minutes to start as close to on time as possible before the Sunday night game on NBC.
That's I think how they arrived at it.
Right. Would you rather go to the college rule where you just and you know at the 20 maybe get a possession at the 35, like you start at the 35, and each team gets a chance in the first possession, and then it can, you can change it however you want, or and just get rid of kickoffs, or would you like to see them modify the current rule where you get a normal possession? If the first team scores, then the other team gets a chance, even if it's a touchdown, they both get a shot, and then you go to sudden death within a 15-minute quarter, or like what? I don't really know what you do to fix it. I've thought about, do you go to kicks, which I know is gimmicky, but that's like the shootout in hockey, but you get rid of ties if you do it that way, and you can do it in a way that, you know, like if you play the 10-minute overtime, like if you keep the 10-minute overtime, and then you go to kicks. Like you start at the 35 and back it up. You could do that.
Yeah, that'll never happen in the NFL ever.
Probably not.
Never.
But, I mean, if you want to get rid of ties, that's probably the best way to do it.
Oh, I understand, but I'm saying it will never happen, ever. Like, there's Koss no is, way you're going to convince the players to, you know, blood and guts out on the field for 60 minutes or whatever. Are you talking about doing this like that is your overtime? And
no,
then have it decided by the leg of a kicker?
No, you basically do it like you did – like the NHL did, where they have an overtime period, and it's, you know, 5 minute 3-on-3 is what it is now. But, you know, even after the lockout, they did a 5 minute 4-on-4, and then if it's still tied after that, then you go to penalty shots or the shootout. I mean, you could.
Yeah, I just think to convince players to, you know, bash each other's heads in for 65-70 minutes, and then have it decided by a kicker, I don't know how you're going to get everybody on board.
Well, I mean, how did you get the NHL players on board with a shootout? I think
well,
because the same
they didn't
want
to play three overtime games on a Tuesday night in middle of November in an 82-game season.
We're right, but they also had ties.
When you got done at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just all about what's a priority and what do you want to get rid of. I mean, you guys know I hate ties. Ties should not exist in sports, period.
Well,
in soccer, in football, it doesn't matter.
That's to me, I and I have seen it happen in a number of games, even if it doesn't end in a tie, where the fact that it's 10 minutes does put people in a rush, even on their first possession. It's one thing if they punt a couple of times back and forth and they run out of time, then that's kind of on them. It just sort of happened. But you're supposed to be trying to create a deal where each team gets the ball. Of course, you don't guarantee that because if the first team scores a touchdown, it's over. That was Bob Costas' big thing, was in the Super Bowl where the Patriots, you know, the big headline is they made the comeback. But the overtime rules, the Falcons never got the ball in overtime. They never got it. They never had a chance. And so he thinks that that's wrong, that part of the rule, especially in the postseason. So that's another discussion is should it be different in the postseason
than
the regular
season? I think we've already had that argument on Sports Talk Radio for a good while, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we already do all that after the Super Bowl? I thought we had already. I mean, once again, it's like I don't know who's going to disagree with that, but, I mean, it's not up to all of us. It's up to the league. I mean, who really opposes that? I mean, everybody thinks that
especially well, they don't oppose
in a playoff,
it that much if they haven't changed it in the
well,
Super Bowl.
Well, I'm talking about fans and media. I mean, if you watch the Super Bowl or a playoff game, like who doesn't think like the other team doesn't deserve the opportunity to try to match what just happened? I mean, I don't know.
So
what would be your logic behind that? Who would come out and say, yeah, that's just what it is? I mean, that's fair.
So everybody making the rules is illogical, and all of us makes sense to all of us?
You just heard Bernard Pollard. Did he agree with the rules?
I mean, no. He didn't.
I think he just called out a lot of the rules. That Lord knows I've been calling out the taunting rule.
This was kind of the tone. This was kind of the tone of Bob Costas. He was like, well, you know, they're not listening to me. He said, I gave the same argument when I was with NBC 3 or 4 years ago, and nobody listened to me then. And since then, you've had a Super Bowl end where a team doesn't get the ball. Peyton Manning, he pointed out many great quarterbacks that have been eliminated from the postseason in overtime without ever getting the ball.
Yeah.
And so that's always been a thing, but I this is another slice of it that I saw on Sunday where it dawns on me, you're trying to create this equity. You're trying to give this – the Titans did their job in not giving up a touchdown. It was close. It was 1 yard. So they earned the chance to get the ball, but they get the ball and they have to hurry and they run out of time. Whereas, you know, the Jets didn't have to worry about that. So that's a screwed up thing where the team that wins the coin toss, again, has a big advantage where it's just not equitable.
Or you could get a stop and get off the field and get the ball quicker. You know, you could do that.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
But what about the Jets who marched down the field and, you know, there was a defense out there trying to stop them.
The Titans marched down the field.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, they could have stopped them and got the ball.
Yes, they could have. And that's always the case. That was the argument all those years when all you had to do was go down and kick a field goal on the first possession.
Yeah, I don't think the league is interested in equitable. They're just interested in
getting the game over with.
Right. That's exactly
There's too much riding on the coin toss, in my opinion, in overtime. And that's just a complete luck of the draw. And that's a game where I was thinking, okay, they've won six straight overtime games. Sometimes you're a little bit unlucky. They lost the coin toss, they didn't get the ball, and they sort of ran out of time. And are there 7, 8, 9, 10 things you could list of things they could have done better in that overtime to win it? Sure. But they still were the odds were stacked against them a little bit just by losing the coin toss.
So what if you did it this way? You're taking a piece of the college rule, but you're getting rid of kickoffs, which is another thing that's player safe. You know, they like to say is player safety and getting hurt on kickoffs. And, you know, it's you just treat it like a touchback. So you get it at the 25 to start the drive. And if it's untimed, you go down, you score, and then the other team gets a chance just like in college. But then you go to, if both teams score, whatever it is, you say you can't kick a field goal. It's not an option. You got to get to the end zone. I mean, there are ways to do it. It's just what's more important, both teams getting a possession or eliminating ties?
That's a good question because there is no easy alternative that somebody's come up with that's perfect.
Right.
But I just think that I've seen a lot of overtime games where if it were 15 minutes, I think you would feel much better about the whole thing.
I agree.
About the whole thing. It was 15 for a long time. Every quarter that's ever been played has been 15 minutes, except for overtime.
And they had this modified rule of, you know, field goal, you know, you can kick that on the first possession, but then the other team gets a chance and all that stuff.
I mean, do something like baseball's done with a man on second to start extra innings. I mean, start at the 50. I don't know. I mean, just do something like that. I mean,
so
that's,
what if
each
you,
team's
that's
guaranteed –
that's equivalent to starting with a runner at second. You start at the 50-yard line. I don't know.
Are you talking about like right away, or are you talking about?
And then if nobody scores from that, then you get it from the 40. You're 40. Okay. Not, you know.
So you're kind of taking what I said, like the college rule, and basically you're starting. You have a starting position, but then you're moving it closer.
You move it up 10 yards and you start at the 40. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, the stats can get weird if you go to double, triple overtime, as we've seen in college games, and that might be part of it.
Well, they've changed the rule again, which I like. You know, they're making you go for two more, and I think you certainly could do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You'll cut down on longer OTs with that.
Mm-hmm. I just think it needs more work
sure.
with that.
Somebody asked on the text
line.
It's a what-if
question as much as anything. But the Titans, by burning the one of their two timeouts and getting the ball with little time and then sort of being a methodical type of team, they got themselves in a situation where they had to really hurry on the last drive on their first drive of overtime. And it would have been completely different if it was a 15-minute
Well, you think so, but you don't know that. Is it flawed? Of course it's flawed. It's been flawed. It was way flawed before the Jets-Titans. I'm not willing to jump on this because it just happened to the Titans, and now it's like, now we have we feel like it would have been different if the rule – there were a lot of things the Titans could have done that
I said that going in.
And
you love it.
Be in that spot.
And you love it when it goes your way. And the Titans had won the last six games that they had been in overtime. So the overtime format certainly is working for them. I'm pointing out that it's a flawed system. And I guess there's no perfect way to do it. But I think there's a better way to do it.
So do you like what college football put in this year? And let me just read it real quick. It's
for overtime.
It's the traditional for the first possession. It's you get it at the 25, and you score, you kick, all that. Everything's normal. Starting with the second overtime, you must go for two.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they've done is they just it used to be the third overtime.
Well, no, they've done something different. Starting with the third overtime, you just it's just two-point conversions. They just alternate two-point conversions. There's no possession. There's no full offensive possession.
Oh, has that happened this year?
Yeah, that's
it has.
Well, I don't know if it has.
I haven't seen a game that I've watched.
Yeah, I like that.
That's the rule, and I'm not opposed to that.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Now you could say in the NFL
to avoid a tie.
So they just go from then on out. You just go for two.
Correct. You put it at the
consecutive
two-yard line or whatever.
I don't think there's been a three overtime game this year.
I don't think it's gone that far either. But so for the NFL, for instance, if you did that rule, maybe instead of the 25, you say the 50, like Darren was saying for at least the first possession, and then you could move it up and have to go
10 yards.
Move it up 10 yards and have to go for two, and then you could say you get it at the 5, and you gotta try and get it in.
That avoids. The dilemma of stats get crazy. You know, a guy throws eight touchdown passes just because they played five overtimes, and you know maybe he threw three during the game and then five in the overtime. Yeah, because it does skew a regular what we expect of stats because the stats count.
We'll have Tim Hasselbeck. We can ask him
about that
at high noon. We come back. We'll close out hour number two. By the way, Sportsline has their odds out. They just released in the last 20, 30 minutes. Who will be the first NFL coach to be fired or leave their job? Think about that.
I'm curious on this.
There's a list. Changed. There's a list of 7 coaches. So be thinking about that to close out the second hour. As you listen to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget to support Stars. That'll be Saturday, October 16th by running, walking, or boogieing. The Nashville Striders 21st Annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run/walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. The event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger. You can show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, presented by Curation CBD, products curated for life. Sportsline has the odds out. Who will be the first NFL coach fired/or to leave his job? Who is the leader in the clubhouse at -200?
And those context clues right there tell you everything you need to know.
Who will be the first NFL coach to be fired or leave his job? Urban Meyer has been. This is the match game. Chase has revealed his answer. Willie, what did you write?
I have to go with Urban Meyer.
Indeed, it is the Urban Cowboy. Urban
By
Meyer.
The way, I don't know where you found that, but that's fantastic.
It's pretty funny that's out there. It's circulating. Urban Meyer -200 is the leader in the clubhouse. Who's second?
I would have said Matt Nagy, but that may have cooled off a little bit.
Couple wins, right?
Yeah.
Against some bad teams.
I know it's only 1 year, but is Dan Campbell?
No.
Dan
Come
Campbell?
On. No way.
He's Willie, crazy.
Willie says no
I
way.
I say no way.
What's your answer? Willie?
Oh, I thought you were asking.
Chase has said Dan Campbell. I'm going to wait. What's your answer?
I'm going to say Mike Tomlin.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Dan Campbell, there's a list of 7 coaches, and he is not on that list. Mike Tomlin is 6th at +1,500, and he's not going to get fired. It's not happening. There's no way. No chance. They can put Mike Tomlin on the list. There's no chance he's gone at the end of the year.
Joe Judge.
That's a good one. Mr. Body Language. Poor body language. Which, thank you for the victory and silly underdogs. Coach Judge, he is 4th, +700.
Mike Zimmer
is 3rd at +500. And I think that would be a mistake by the Vikings.
Yeah, I think it
I think Mike Zimmer's a good coach. I think he is a lot like Dusty Baker. He's underappreciated.
So we've named how many of the
Urban Meyer 1, Zimmer 3, Judge 4, Tomlin 6. So you need 2, 7, and 5.
Culley in Houston.
I don't think so. He just got there.
I know.
Can't
nope.
be.
Nope.
I would have said Zach Taylor, but they're off to a pretty good start.
I think some of these. Here's my hint. I think some of these coaches on this list are. If you bet on that, you're wasting your money. You might as well just give.
Is Vrabel on the list?
Is Kingsbury still on there?
Give your money to me instead of just throwing it out the window, because you're just tossing money out the window. It's not happening.
Is Vrabel on the list?
Vrabel is not on the list.
Before the season, Kingsbury would have been on this list for sure.
Yep.
But he's 4-0. So
they're the only undefeated team, so he is not.
Okay, well, you said Nagy wasn't on it anymore?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, so Nagy is on it.
Matt Nagy's 2. Like, I can't believe two. We're still your guy. Your guy.
I thought you guessed him before.
Well, I said
no, he didn't. He just was like, I would have said it before, but you know, not now. And so, I mean, 2 wins over 2 crappy teams, he's all of a sudden off the list? No, he's on the list. He's number 2, plus 200.
And so we need one more.
Five and seven are stupid. They're just dumb.
Brian
they're
like Flores.
Was Frank Reich one? He shouldn't
What'd
be.
What'd you say, Chase?
Flores.
Yeah, he's 5. He's not getting fired. It's not Brian Flores is not getting fired.
Come on.
It's not happening. It's not happening. Same with Tomlin. That's a waste of money. Not happening.
Well, Tomlin, just when you're there as long as a guy's been there, although the one thing you would say is the Steelers don't operate that way.
No.
But
I don't think
in a certain city – in a certain time, if you've been there for a long time and it's just you feel like it's stale and it's maybe been a certain level and it goes down a level.
If he leaves,
a lot of times that's
had
a knee-jerk
losing
reaction.
Season. What level is it down? He's never had a losing season.
They look like they're down a level.
They're going to go into a rebuild. I mean,
so the first time that happens, you think they're going to fire him, the Steelers?
No,
I don't. I didn't say I thought he was going to get fired.
I think he'd leave
on his own. You just said some of these are so stupid.
They've had like 3 coaches in 60 years.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's on the list, though. That's why I said. Because odds makers, they want to take people's money, and people will throw their money out there.
Dumb. Frank Reich is 7.
That's what I said. I said Frank Reich.
He's not. It's not happening.
He's not getting fired.
No,
he's a good coach.
He's not getting fired.
They're going to be very much in this division race before it's all over.
Flores, Tomlin, and Reich is just – that's dumb.
Jeff says Mike McCarthy. Yeah, they're 3-1. He's good right now.
Yeah, he is, but he's still a meathead. His clock management skills
sucks.
Are awful. They're
and they
awful.
Always have been.
No, they're awful. Like he is a complete failure as a head coach with clock management skills. And how has it not gotten any better over the years? How has he not gotten any better with it?
Along those lines, do we think the Chargers have graduated out of that label?
Well,
with their new coaching staff?
Look at their coach.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
You think it was an Anthony Lynn problem, or do you think it was a Chargers problem?
Well,
they did sort of goof up.
A good hire.
They did sort of goof up the one game that they lost. They could have easily won that game.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, they outplayed the Cowboys in a lot of ways in that game.
By the way,
they look good. They look good.
They are perfect on the season going for fourth downs.
Wow.
How about that?
That certainly helps.
I'm curious of how this list changes because, I mean, that's what's fun to keep up with because, you know, I mean, like I said, Matt Nagy is probably going to stay on it. I think ultimately that's what's going to end up happening. Pace 2.
I just don't get into these lists. I don't like that. I know it's out there. People will bet on these things.
It's fun to talk about.
Yeah. Speaking of last night, too, just when you talk about the fourth downs, a guy that caught a big one last night was Jared Cook. He had a really good game.
Yep.
Jared Cook is he like 47 years old? Remember, he was drafted by the Titans way, way back.
Yep,
he still can do it. Yep. He can still have big games. How about that?
Jared Cook is my age. He's 34.
I feel like he's been in the league for 20 years.
Yes. Wow. I remember when the summer that he was picked, I remember Jeff Fisher was so excited. He was like, man, we got this guy. People cannot cover this guy. And to a large degree, that's been true.
Yeah.
2009.
He has carved out a really interesting niche. And he's such a dilemma for fantasy owners because we had him last year. He has great games, and then he has games where he's just not in the game playing very much.
Hence why he changes teams every year.
Mm-hmm. But he's a good specialist.
He's only played for six teams. It feels like more.
I love that, Chase. He's only played for 16.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
It feels like more.
Oh, my apologies. He's only played for six teams.
Titans, St. Louis Rams, Packers, as we talk about Raiders, how good Saints, he is. Chargers.
Yeah. He's only played for six teams. Boy, isn't he good.
But he does the same thing for every team.
He does. Yep. He does. Cookie.
He makes big plays.
Tim Hasselbeck to start the third hour. That's next.